Advertisers will find marketing drugs to the public more easy if changes recommended by the Senate today go ahead. Currently, all ads for medicines must go through a pre-approval process before being published. But the government is pushing to remove that and instead beef up the monitoring and compliance powers of the watchdog, the Therapeutic Goods Administration. It has also rejected calls from health experts for warning labels on alternative medicines, advising consumers about the lack of scientific evidence behind them. Associate Professor Ken Harvey from Monash University says while the pre-approval system is limited, it does stop misleading or false ads from being seen by the public.
Now, at the moment, it's true, pre-approval is limited to so-called specified media, which is mainly old media, newspapers, traditional television. It doesn't extend to new media like the internet or even paid TV, so it is limited. But we do know that it does pick up an awful lot of bad ads. In fact, most advertisements need some sort of changes, many of them drastic changes, before they're approved for publication. And the concern about removing the pre-approval is that there's nothing to stop, you know, advertisements for cancer and serious diseases getting into the mainstream media.
Associate Professor Harvey says the government could easily test its new compliance system by keeping pre-approval in place.
It can take up to 6-12 months to get rid of a bad ad by complaints or post-marketing surveillance. And again, we argue, look, prevention is better than cure. If the government thinks that their new measures of increased penalties, etc., is going to fix the problem, well, let's put it to the test. Let's keep pre-approval going for 2 or 3 years, and let's see if the number of ads requiring changes in pre-approval falls off.
In a dissenting report to the Senate inquiry, the Greens expressed concerns over the change, saying it protects consumers from misinformation about the efficacy of products. Labor senators also called for more caution about the removal of the vetting process. However, they didn't support the call for disclaimers on traditional and complementary medicines. Vice President of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, Charlotte Hespy, is concerned the public may be misled without the labels in place.
We're very concerned that by not having any disclaimer, that the public will be potentially misled by being told that something is traditionally used for something. For instance, you know, you use something that really doesn't do any harm, so I have no problem with you doing it, but we know that it's unlikely to be doing it, yet it can be promoted under the new guidelines as being good, you know, anti-aging effects, etc. Where really, I'd be happy with that as long as they connect that, you know, did have a disclaimer to say, but in fact, that there's no good scientific evidence that actually backs this claim.
In its evidence to the inquiry, the Department of Health said the use of scientific disclaimers had no effect on consumer behaviour overseas, and it would focus its efforts on a public education program. But Associate Professor Harvey says that was based on an old policy that has since been updated.
That's old data about a different disclaimer. It goes back to 1994 when the American Food and Drug Administration did put up a disclaimer, not the same one as we want, a much weaker disclaimer. Yes, there was some research, although again, if you actually read the papers involved that the TGA cited, it comes with a lot of caveats. The testing was usually done on students. It was not done on elderly consumers that actually take complementary medicines. Yes, there was not a lot of evidence that that particular disclaimer was effective. But the disclaimer we were talking about was in fact a November last year disclaimer by the Federal Trade Commission, a different body in the US, which almost certainly had reviewed the evidence that the TJ talked about. So in fact, I mean, they were using a false analogy.
Other calls from the scientific community have been virtually ignored in the Senate report. Many had called for regulations over complementary and traditional medicines to be extended to food to combat advertisers' claims about their health benefits. Charlotte Hespy says it can be hard for consumers to tell marketing from solid evidence.
It's really hard to know as a consumer whether what is said on the product is right or not. I mean, I go into the supermarket and you see all of these amazing health benefits from a food, and you go and then look at what's in it, and it's a load of codswallops, where if you know what to look for and what you're actually trying to find. But that is a difficult issue, isn't it?
With the absence of pre-approval and labelling, the government is relying on increased surveillance and enforcement powers to hold drug sponsors to account. But Ms. Hesby says compliance monitoring is hard to measure.
We know when we look at compliance monitoring that what tends to happen is that it becomes too onerous and too difficult, and big gaps emerge. So my fear would be that it would just be an untenably large project that won't get done properly.
Vice President of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, Charlotte Hesby, ending that story.